to another edition of the Dark Horses Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Blystone, and today we're going to be previewing the upcoming Sunday Night Football play-in game between the Colts and the Titans, taking a look at the matchups to watch for the game, and we're going to look at some playoff scenarios to watch for the week and how they'll impact the Colts in the playoffs, assuming that they win their game. So first, we're going to start off with those matchups to watch, and we're going to go over the matchups are not totally different from what we had last time, but obviously there have been some things that have changed in terms of what we can expect for the Colts this go around against the Titans. So if you remember in the first game, it was a home game, and the Titans had just beaten the Patriots pretty handily. Pretty good showing on their part. Their defense had been playing really well, and the offense was sort of coming alive a little bit. And the Colts were still sort of in no man's land and not really sure what kind of a team. I mean, there were signs that they were significantly improved, but they were not on everybody's radar at that point. So it was viewed to be a pretty close game, and the Colts end up winning it 38-10 and looked in complete control the whole game through. Now, that game was notable in that defensive coordinator for the Titans, Dean Pease, had to be taken to the hospital with some sort of a complication. I believe it was heart-related or something like that. Had to leave the game actually in the course of the game and go to the hospital. So that has a big impact on your team. I don't know. I mean, he's a veteran defensive coach, and yeah, I don't know what kind of an impact that had on how their defense played from a mental standpoint or even from a logistical standpoint, but obviously it does have an impact. Losing a member of your staff is significant, especially in a traumatic way, and so obviously that was a big wrench sort of in their plans. But this go-around, we've got several different matchups we need to keep an eye on, and the first one that I've got on my list, and I actually have written a post about this on Stampede Blue, you're welcome to jump over and check it out if you haven't already. T.Y. Hilton and Adoree Jackson, round two in all of these, if there are ones that we've talked over the first go-round. But Adoree Jackson was having a really nice season, and has had overall a very nice season. But when he and T.Y. Hilton went head-to-head, it was really pretty ugly. Hilton just absolutely tore that matchup apart. I mean, it was not a pretty day for him. I'm sure none of the film was exciting to go through. Hilton had 155 yards and two touchdowns against the Titans, and one of his best games of the season. Somehow not his highest yardage total. He did have that 199-yard game. But, you know, he's just on this ridiculous roll. Over the past seven games, 48 receptions, 856 yards for Hilton, and he's had 425-yard or higher games, including the 155-yarder against the Titans. So he has had just a ridiculous run of play, and all of this has been taking place when he's less than 100% healthy. You know, he's not been great. He's been playing through pain. He's not been practicing. He did get on the field to practice and has not been ruled out. I mean, he's as good as said. This is he compared the game to a game seven in the NBA playoffs, and you know, he said, direct quote, you know, I ain't missing that, when he was talking about, you know, whether he was going to participate in the game. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear based on the way that he's played. He's not going anywhere. You can expect T.Y. Hilton to be on the field. And what's really been pretty remarkable about the way that Hilton has played is that despite the fact that he's been hurt, you see guys go on the field hurt, and sometimes it's not a great thing. Sometimes it's actually hard for the team because playing hurt. I remember when Vontae Davis used to play and he'd play hurt, and quite honestly, his play took a huge hit. When he would be playing hurt, he wasn't playing up to what we would have expected of him normally, and you know, that continued to be a perpetual frustration, you know, because the top level of play versus the hurt level of play was so much different. Hilton is not that same way. He plays at such a high level despite these tons of things going on with him. I mean, so he's had shoulder injuries and like chest injuries and hip, and you know, his ankle's been tweaked, and those things aren't just going away. Like, just because that's not on the injury report doesn't mean it feels really good, right? I mean, it's not like, okay, well, his shoulder suddenly feels great. I mean, maybe it's not like really hampering his movement anymore, but it still hurts. So it's really incredible what this guy's managing to play through, what he's able to do. And I don't know if they're going to match Adoree Jackson up against him again. If they do, I would expect it to go about the same. I mean, Hilton is just a really good receiver, and he took advantage of them in the secondary. Now, I do expect they'll probably roll some safety coverage over him, and that maybe will give them some breathing room a little bit. But I mean, they had all their same secondary guys last go around, and Hilton still managed to do a ton of damage on these guys. So I expect that they'll go to Hilton and they'll challenge them early and often. Logan Ryan also is going to be gone from this matchup, and that is going to change the way this defense can attack a little bit. I mean, you've still got Kevin Byard, you've got some of these talented guys in the defensive unit for the Titans that can play, and they can play the ball, that can defend against somebody like Hilton. But honestly, I expect that Frank Reich will challenge them early with Hilton and try to get them out to a lead. So that's my expectation is that matchup is going to go similarly to the first time around. Hilton is just too hot right now. I just can't see this Titans defense shutting him down the way that they'll need to in order to, you know, to really stay in this game. So that matchup, personally, I think that's a T.Y. Hilton win, but that's a big matchup to watch, and whether or not Adoree Jackson still follows him, or if they, you know, try to do something different in terms of coverage for him. So the next one I've got on my list is really the linebackers, but specifically Anthony Walker, who is back, or looks to be back, assuming there's no complications, and, you know, how he matches up in the attempt to stop, or at least slow down, Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry over the last three games has been pretty impressive, and you know, he had a ridiculous 99-yard run against the Jaguars. And if you watched that run, you know, you get those 99-yard runs where sometimes you think, man, things just broke the right way, and this guy just, you know, he kind of just got lucky that his blocks were great, and he had the talent, sure, but he got, you know, just got the lucky breaks. And that is not the kind of run that this 99-yard run was. It was one of the most impressive runs I have ever seen. I mean, he just manhandles people down the line. And he has no business getting 99 yards, and he does anyway. So, really impressive running lately. Obviously, that's one play, so you can't completely, you know, expect that the Colts are going to give up things like that. They haven't all season long. And, you know, they get penetration into the backfield. This is not an offensive line that's terrifying people. It's not as bad, maybe, or as beat up as it was when the Colts faced them the first time. But this is an offensive line that the Colts should be able to find some success up against from the defensive line's perspective. So if they can get into the backfield, if they can get to Derrick Henry early, if they can contain him and keep him from getting to the outside, because despite his size, he's a guy who can do some damage on the outside and can move to the edge pretty quickly. If they can limit that and force him inside, he's not going to do the kind of damage that the Titans will need him to do to really be a huge impact. And the other thing that the Colts can do is make sure that they get offensively out to a quick start and limit the impact of the run game entirely, because what they can do is if they can get a couple scores up on the Titans, they can make them one-dimensional. They can make them have to lean on the quarterback in the passing game, and that's going to be working in the Colts' strength, because then they can kind of do what they need to do, pin their ears back, and get after the quarterback. So that's one of those things where I really think that the Colts have an advantage. Derrick Henry's played very well, but I just don't anticipate that he can do the same kinds of things that he's done in recent weeks against this Colts defense that's been pretty disciplined and is getting some guys back healthy. So the next matchup is our running backs against their defensive line, and specifically Marlon Mack. This is a very good run defense, and they're going to be missing some guys. I mean, they're missing Brian Arakpo. He's been ruled out. They're going to be missing Jarrell Casey, who's been put on IR, and that's probably two of their strongest members of their front seven. Given those losses, the Colts need to make sure that they're going to capitalize on that by running the ball. Now, they didn't do a whole lot of that against the Giants, and that was really kind of a little bit frustrating to me because the Giants were a susceptible team to the run. Now, the Titans are not viewed as that as much, but the thing is, if you're going to play against a solid defense, especially a solid pass defense, which they do have, you have to be able to be a little bit more multidimensional. You can't be the team that specifically is looking to throw the ball on every down. You can't come out like they did against the Giants and throw three passes and then punt the ball. That's going to play to their strengths because they can be a ball control offense. And if the Colts want to play that game, they're going to find themselves in a tight type of game like they were against the Giants. And that's not where they want to be. So what they need to do is come out early. And they will be missing Ryan Kelly, and that sucks for the offense because they really do better when he is blocking. But they're going to have Evan Bame there, and he's a solid replacement. They are getting Mark Lewinsky back. So that'll be everybody but Kelly healthy on the field and give Mac an opportunity to attack that defense and attack that front seven. And what that opens up to them is the ability to run play action and the ability to get some of their guys like T.Y. and Eric Ebron, if he's able to clear concussion protocol, the ability to get those guys downfield and give them some space to work. It opens the offense up. When Marlon Mack does really well, this offense looks totally unstoppable. They just look so much better. And so if he could come out and have a good game and head into the playoffs with a really strong showing, that would really do a lot for this Colts offense. And so that's what we want to see from Mac is and really, I guess this is even an offensive line thing as well. You've got to see a good performance from these guys in terms of the run game. They need to protect Andrew Luck. That's obviously a paramount thing, but they really also need to be making holes like they have done sometimes and start to build some consistency in terms of what they do against defenses in the run. Because if they can establish the run, even if it's not great, if they can have some successful runs just enough to where the defense has to respect it and play it reasonably, that, you know, they're not necessarily trying to get them to stack the box, but to where they actually have to respect the run, that just opens up the playbook for Frank Reich so much more. And so if they could do that, and like I said, it takes the pressure off Andrew Luck. So if they can do that and get Mac, you know, 20 carries, I mean, if they could get him 20 carries, and sometimes they really struggle to even do that on days where they're just not running the ball that much, 20 carries where it actually matters, get him the ball, and, you know, try to let him kind of set the pace for this offense. And if they can do that, I think that they're going to find themselves in a really good position. So that's going to be probably, apart from T.Y., I mean, assuming that T.Y. doesn't win his match, I mean, let's say if T.Y. is winning his matchup like he was last time, throw the ball. But assuming that he's going to struggle a little bit more and that having your defensive coordinator back and having an opportunity to have studied film on how this offense has operated and what they did to you the last time, assuming that those things are somewhat corrected or at least better in terms of the Titans defense, you definitely need to have a little bit more balance. And so I expect that they're going to need Marlon Mack to be productive, even if he is not the main driving force of the offense. Next big matchup that is pretty important to talk about is between Pierre Desir and Corey Davis. So Desir has been matched up in several different weeks against the team's top receiver. Now, we play a zone defense, so it's not like he's following him around the field all the time necessarily. But in a lot of those situations, specifically against DeAndre Hopkins, against Amari Cooper, Pierre Desir found himself matched up against those guys pretty frequently. And he did a really admirable job against two very, very good wideouts. So it's likely, maybe not a guarantee, but likely that you'll see him matched up against the Titans' best receiver, Corey Davis. And he is a significant threat. Now, the Colts didn't really, obviously, with 10 points on the board, wasn't a huge game for any of the receivers in the last matchup, but you can pretty well expect that they're going to try to find ways to get the ball into his hands, let him be productive when and if he can. They don't throw the ball a ton. That's not their game. They're a ground team, and if they have to rely on him, I think that probably plays into the Colts' favor. But Pierre Desir's played really well. He's not a household name. He's not somebody that people necessarily think of as being just this top-tier guy, and he isn't. But he's a solid guy, and he's really raised his game inside this scheme. So props to Desir. We've talked about him before on here, I believe. I know that we've written about how well he's done this season, and he has done a really, really good job for the Colts in terms of what he's been able to do on the backstretch of this season. So if they can get good coverage and give the defensive front a chance to get to the quarterback, that makes a big difference. And if you can shut down or at least slow down Corey Davis, knock him off of his route, and interfere with the rhythm between he and whether it's Mariota or Gabbert. If you can interfere with that rhythm a little bit and let the defense kind of, you know, do its best to get to the quarterback and at least cause pressure, you can create some turnover opportunities. You can either get sacks or you can actually force fumbles. And, you know, even better, maybe you get an opportunity at a pick because you cause an errant throw or something like that. So really important to win that matchup, and Pierre Desir's done it against some pretty talented guys who are more talented than Corey Davis. So let's hope that he can remain up to the challenge and continue to raise his game there. And the last matchup, and this is a pretty significant one, is really going to be to see how Frank Reich handles this second-round matchup with Mike Vrabel. Both rookie head coaches, both doing pretty admirable jobs with their teams. I think that both have done better than people would have expected. The Titans are a very solid team, and they've done really well considering what they've got. They've suffered a ton of really tough injuries for this team. All season long, they've struggled with injuries, and I think they're a better team than they've played because of some of those injuries. And then, you know, there may be trying to figure out what their quarterback situation is, but ultimately, Vrabel's done a really good job. The Colts caught them at a good time, and because of the Dean Pease thing, we don't really know what impact that had on, you know, how their game went. So it'll be really interesting to see how this coaching staff coaches against the Colts at home in the second outing. The Colts have struggled a little bit on the road, not a ton, but a little bit. They've struggled. They had the blessing of having a lot of home games on their back stretch of their schedule, and so they've definitely played better at home. But the other thing that's kind of interesting, and we just don't know a whole lot about him at this point, is how does Frank Reich handle second outings against the same team? Because one of the things that he had going in is sort of the element of surprise. He's a little bit of an unknown, and while the Titans know the Colts personnel reasonably well, or as well as anybody can, especially given how young this team is, not a whole lot of people can know what their personnel is like, but while they didn't know that, there's a pretty significant advantage in having an entirely rookie coaching staff with a bunch of new players and young guys. You got a little bit of an element of surprise. Well, in this second go-around, that surprise element is gone. The Titans know what the Colts are going to try to do, and they're going to be on the road. They're going to be seeing a Titans group that is just as desperate as the Colts trying to make the playoffs, and it'll be really interesting to see what this game looks like. Reich has a 500 record. He's only played two repeat games. Both of his previous AFC South rematches against the Jaguars and Texans. Against the Jaguars, obviously, the Colts were shut out, lost the game 6-0, which was an awful aberration, and hopefully something we never see a repeat performance like that, because it was just so hard to watch. And the offense couldn't be bothered to get a score on the board. I mean, they scored nothing the whole game. They couldn't get anything going. It was awful, and the Jaguars played excellently, and the Colts offense was awful. And against the Texans, they managed to get a win. So the question is just, what are you going to see from this second iteration of Frank Reich? Is he going to come out with this team really primed up and ready to go? Is he going to have the same game plan? Is he going to come out with a completely different look and try to push the Titans in a different way? And, you know, this team is not exactly the same team that it was 6 weeks ago when they played the last time. So you've got a different look that way in how the teams are going to match up. So it'll be very interesting to see how things are coached differently. I expect that the Colts should be able to have, you know, time to throw the ball, because Jarrell Casey is really the most significant pass rush threat, and he's obviously not going to be a part of this game because he's on injured reserve. So it'll be very interesting to see how this thing plays out. I do expect it to be a more competitive game than the last time. I still think that the Colts should be able to win, and should be able to win pretty easily, because they're just not as beat up as the Titans are. The Titans are just suffering so many injuries right now, it's going to be really tough for them. And so it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see how that game plays out, and that will hold some implications, because regardless of who they play in the playoffs, and we'll talk about this here later, Reich is very likely to have some rematches against some other coaches, and so that is going to be an interesting thing to track and see how he does in the second and third times that he's seeing some of these teams, because that's going to matter down the stretch. So, all right, we're going to pause real quickly and get a word from our sponsors.
All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seat you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees.
All right, and we're back. And so now what I want to do is actually look ahead at a couple of these playoff scenarios, because there are several games that we're going to watch as Colts fans that we need to be watching, 1 o'clock games, 4 o'clock games that we need to keep an eye on, because they're going to be relevant to the Colts placing in the playoffs should they win their game. So first of all, obviously they've got to win their game. The most important thing, if they lose, they're out of the playoffs, period. There's not a way for them, I don't think, unless I don't know if there's a scenario. There's the Colts need to win. We'll leave it at that. I don't know, there may be some fluky scenario where a crazy number of things could happen and the Colts could get in, but they need to win. So first and foremost, Colts need to get their win against the Titans. And if they do that, there are a couple of other things that can happen that are going to determine how that first week plays out. So, first of all, if the Patriots win, they'll get a bye. So they'll probably be that 2 seed. But if the Patriots win, they get that bye. They lock in that bye, which means that, you know, the best that the Texans can do is, you know, locking up the division. But they would not get the bye. They'd be hosting a wild card game. So if the Patriots win, they get that bye. If they lose, and if the Texans win, then the Patriots would be hosting a wild card team, and it would be the Colts. So if the Colts would win their game and the Patriots lose and the Texans win, then the Patriots would be hosting the Colts in the wild card round at Foxborough. And I just have to tell you, it would be pretty sweet. I'm not sure how I feel about that. So obviously, as Colts fans, we have suffered a lot of disappointment at the hands of the Patriots. And the prospect of suffering more would really not excite me all that much. I mean, the Colts are sort of playing with house money at this point, right? I mean, if they make the playoffs, nobody expected them to. It's all kind of gravy. I mean, we know what the future looks like for this team, and it's very bright. But honestly, who wants to think about the future? If you have the opportunity to make the playoffs, you don't want to think about the future. You want to think about right now. And so right now, if the Colts were to go into Foxborough, I'd be a nervous wreck. But I also think that it might be one of the most enjoyable football games in my memory if they could knock off the Patriots on the road after getting the ridiculous, you know, McDaniel snubbing them, and after all of this, you know, season and what the season has been like, and then after losing to the Patriots in that fluky game in the middle of the season where they were so banged up and they hadn't really gelled yet at that point, and, you know, didn't have Mac or Costanzo, and just, you know, didn't look anything like what you expect this team to look like or what it looks like now. So it would be really, really fun for them to have the opportunity to go to Foxborough and get a win. I don't think they have won in Foxborough since, and I don't have this in front of me. I want to say it's like 2006. I think it was 2006, the year that the Colts won the Super Bowl, that they actually have beaten the Patriots in Foxborough. I know they haven't beaten them since 2009, period, which is just the worst. I mean, that's just awful, and that's a streak that needs to end. So it'd be really cool to be able to have that opportunity to do that in the playoffs. Now, having said all that, there's also a possibility that if the Texans were to lose and the Colts win, Well, if that happens, the Colts win the AFC South. So we would actually host the Texans in a home playoff game, which is pretty cool, the idea of that. Now, there's a few scenarios. Maybe there's some fringe kind of scenarios where we could be hosting somebody else. But as far as I could tell, the few that I ran, it would basically be, you know, the Colts, if they win the division, they'd be hosting the Texans at home, which would be pretty cool. To have a home playoff game against an opponent that I think they ought to be able to beat and they know very well, be a pretty cool thing. So now those are the primary scenarios there. Then looking at sort of the rest of the playoffs and some of the teams we could be pitted against, a Steelers win and a Ravens loss would bump the Ravens and put the Steelers in. And quite honestly, I think that actually gives the Colts an advantage to play the Ravens, or to have the Ravens in there. I think the Ravens, while they're a very impressive team, the Colts run defense is actually, you know, better than pass defense. I'd rather put the Colts run defense against the Ravens than try to figure out how to deal with the passing attack of the Steelers. And the Colts don't have a great history against the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger either in the playoffs or anywhere else. So interesting there that they could technically get themselves in, but that also requires the Ravens to lose, and just not sure that's going to happen. This team's looked pretty good down the stretch. Now the Steelers obviously looked good as well, but they're playing against the Bengals. Bengals hate the Steelers, and that could be an interesting game. And the Browns are, you know, playing the Ravens, and then they've been on a roll. So who knows? Anything could happen there. Either of those teams, though, I think the Colts could beat. It'd just be interesting to see who ends up making it in, you know, from the AFC North. So the AFC West is technically up for grabs. There's still some jockeying to determine how that's going to lay out in terms of who gets the one seed, because technically with the Chiefs loss and a Chargers win, the Chargers get that one seed and the Chiefs would end up playing in a wild card game. So it's very possible that happens, but again, in order for that to happen, the Chiefs have to lose to Oakland, and I just don't think that's going to take it. Like, at home, lose to Oakland at home. I don't think that happens. It's really hard for me to envision a circumstance where Oakland's going to beat the Chiefs home or away. It doesn't really matter. They're just not nearly as good a team as the Chiefs are. So unlikely, but definitely possible for to see that get shaken up a little bit. Ultimately, though, it comes down to that basically if the Texans lose and the Colts win, we're hosting the Texans for the wild card. If both the Colts and the Texans win and New England loses, we'll travel to New England. And if New England wins, we'll face Houston on the road. So pretty much going to be Houston or New England is going to be our first round playoff game. And quite honestly, I feel pretty comfortable with either of those matchups. Neither of those teams really make me feel super nervous. Now, don't get me wrong, the Colts have proven that they can come out pretty flat against just about anybody, but they've also proven that they can come out and really lay the wood to somebody if they need to, and so I'm not too nervous about either of them. I think they could beat anybody that's going to make the AFC playoffs, to be perfectly honest, and it's just going to be really fun. It's fun just to have a Week 17 game have this kind of meaning. It's fun to get the Colts on primetime. And it's going to be really fun to see what they can do if they manage to get into the playoffs and how that plays out. It's one of those few times where there's not a clear, decisive team that you think this is the one that's definitely going to win everything. That makes the playoffs a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. It should be one of the better playoffs probably in recent memory, because there aren't several teams that just look unbeatable, that look like they could just run all the way through everybody without even facing a real challenge. So I think we're going to get some really good football. I think the Colts are really kind of peaking at the right time, and we're going to get to see our team, hopefully, if they can take care of business on Sunday night, finish out the season and head into the playoffs looking good. And worst case scenario for us, again, like I said, we're playing with house money this season. If it ends with a first-round loss, that sucks. And, of course, you and I and all of the Colts fans, we're going to be upset about that. Nobody wants to see our team lose. But ultimately, if they lose, we still kind of head into the offseason with a really bright future ahead and a lot of really good things going for the Colts. So, exciting time to be watching this team. And we're going to keep pumping out good content. We'll have all kinds of good stuff. We actually have one of our writers is actually credentialed to this game, and that's pretty cool. Jay Siskin's going to be at this game, and you know, maybe can give us a little bit of an insider perspective on Sunday night, and that's pretty cool, obviously. So we're going to have our breakdown after the game like we always do, all of our good content there, and we'll have any playoff-related content coming up in the following week. As soon as we find out anything, we'll kind of get it out to you at Stampede Blue. And if there's, you know, if things don't shake out that way, if the game goes badly and we don't make the playoffs, well, we've still got good content for you. We'll get the all the fun off-season content rolling. And so go ahead and check that out whenever you get an opportunity. If you would, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I believe if you rate it right now, it technically is rating for the Colts Cast, Horseshoes with Holder, and Dark Horses. You can specify what you're rating, I guess, in the ratings, but they're all great. At least I hope that you think they're all great. And please don't, you know, like, write Horseshoes with Holder and Colts Cast are great. Please stop making the Dark Horses podcast. I mean, you can do that, I guess. I'd rather you email me than rate it that way. But do what you got to do. Rate us and review us. We appreciate it. It definitely helps us out. Follow me on, at Chris Blystone on Twitter. And check us out on Stampede Blue for all that good content. And keep coming back, checking out all the other pods. We'll have lots of good stuff for you coming up. So that's all for me. We're signing off here with Dark Horses Podcast. And hopefully put something up for you in terms of a recap next week after, fingers crossed, a play-in win over the Tennessee Titans. Catch you all next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.